Hello, Park Street. Welcome back. Today is day 33 of Lent in our journey through the Book of John, and I'm back doing another episode with Scott and Ann Williams. So thank you guys for coming back and doing another one.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Today's passage is John chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 1 through 19. Ann, are you willing to read again?
I sure am.
All right.
This is Jesus prays for himself. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." This is Jesus' praise for his disciples. "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified."
Cool. Thank you, Anne. One thing I just want to say right to start is that verse 3, it seems like Jesus is kind of praying in third person. Which yeah. is pretty
yeah.
legit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. Yeah, yeah. Actually, Ian and I talked about that. It's interesting he switches to that, yeah.
Other than that, I guess, this whole passage is a prayer of Jesus. Basically, this is the last chapter before Jesus is arrested and, you know, all the plans of the Pharisees and religious leaders are put into motion to crucify him. And so, you know, obviously there's kind of a gravity to the words he's saying and the things he's praying. I mean, if you can imagine, I guess, if you think back to, like, what's the prayer you've prayed most earnestly, you know, like, with the most, like, that you meant, you know, deep down, like, in your soul, you know, like, I'm sure if you thought back, you know, I've prayed some prayers like that where it's like, there was just this motivation inside that was just like, I really, like, am feeling this prayer right now.
You lay out all the emotions
and you
table.
Just, like, you're, like, fully vulnerable. And it's not just a prayer of, like, I've got to pray regularly or, you know, this happens every so often or a regular rhythm of prayer or a discipline of prayer. It's, like, this, like, emotional volcano of a prayer, you know, which I feel like is what Jesus is kind of doing with these words.
It does feel that way, yeah. And what's even, I think, just within the scope of how Jesus speaks, you know, when we often think of how he teaches, we think of him teaching in parables. You know, that he makes points as he is telling this other larger story. And I'm jumping actually into what would be yesterday's podcast, is in chapter 16, verse 29. And again, we're talking about 16 chapters into the story of John, so this is like late in Jesus' life. It says, then Jesus' disciples said, "Whoa, now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. You know, and so we see this kind of movement of Jesus' language where it's a parable into, like, I'm just going to give it to you straight, you know?
Yeah.
And then in this, so I'm dipping into yesterday's podcast.
It's allowable.
And dipping into tomorrow's podcast a little bit.
Yeah.
But in verse 17, Jesus is praying for, I'm sorry, in chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, he's praying for himself. And then 6 through 19, he's praying for his disciples. And then for the rest of the chapter, 20 on, he's praying for all believers. So there's this idea of small, greater, greatest kind of thing in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
But it's all, he's all speaking plainly now. He's no longer using figures of speech or allegory or analogies. He's just coming out with it.
Yeah.
You can feel how much he loves his disciples, like as he's, you know, crying out to the Father, like,
yeah,
to, like, protect them from the evil one and wanting to make sure that they have the full measure of his joy before he leaves the world. You can just feel how much he cares and loves them.
Yeah. And can we just take a moment and talk about that phrase, full measure of joy? I mean, if we're talking about Jesus, who is God, and he wants us to have his full measure of joy, what in the world does that mean? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My goodness.
We don't tap into that.
Yeah.
Like, not even small drops in the bucket of what he wants for us.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to take, like, just the tiniest, like, dip our finger into the ocean, and, like, that amount of seawater, you know, that is on our finger, like, that might be the amount of joy that we experience when there's a whole ocean of joy that Jesus is there, like, that he wishes for us. He wants us to have that full measure of joy, and we don't even begin to tap into it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things that makes me most excited and willing to be a Christian is that as I've, over the past, I guess, couple years, I've felt like I've started to understand that concept slightly more. So, like, the idea that God wants us to have that kind of joy makes Christianity seem really, really attractive, right? Because who wouldn't want to live that kind of life?
Right.
Along with that, right, comes all the other, a lot of other stuff that's harder, right? But the whole point of this, and Jesus is, you know, he goes into this. It's interesting in this passage, he talks a lot about the world mm-hmm. versus the
how many
disciples.
Times?
Yeah, I think 18 times.
Yeah, Ian looked it up. Like, it was 18 times. That's
so
crazy.
So, and the fact that you brought up joy, Scott, is really interesting because it reminded me of this other passage, 1 John 2. So, same author. This is three verses, and I feel like these three verses have defined a lot of, like, what Christianity means in my own life. It says, this is John writing to the church, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But everyone who does what pleases God will live forever. And it's interesting that you talk about joy because when you contrast and compare and contrast, like, the world at large versus Christ, so he says that the world offers only a craving, right? And I found it so fascinating because he doesn't say the world offers you pleasure, it's just the wrong kind. He doesn't say the world offers you joy, it's just the wrong kind, right? Or it's not, he's like, the world offers you only a craving, right? And what is a craving? A craving is an emptiness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a deep desire for more. But
that's never
satisfied. It's never satisfied, and it only just continues to crave. Like, the craving just in, and you might get a brief, like, respite from your craving, but the craving is just growing, growing, growing,
yeah.
growing, growing, growing. And it's like, to me, apart from Christ, you have a craving, right? A never-ending search for satisfaction that you cannot find.
Yeah.
And when you contrast that with, like, Jesus saying, and throughout the whole book of John, he's talking about joy a lot.
Right.
And he's saying, like, I want to give them a satisfying life. You know, like John 10:10, basically that's what it says. And, you know, and so when Jesus is, you know, praying here, say, I'm not praying for the world, you know, I'm praying for my people, that I'm going to give them this joy. And like you're talking about, like, there's this whole, it opens up this entire universe of like possibility, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, that's pretty crazy. Is that what this is really about? Yeah. You know, like,
yeah.
is that the choice I have, a choice between being satisfied and being, you know, cosmically unsatisfied, you know? Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
whoa, is that what I've always thought following Jesus is like?
Nope.
You know, it just is like, it's you know, and Jesus is like fervently into this whole thing, like,
yeah.
I'm gonna give them this joy. And you're right, like, we don't, like, where do we,
yeah,
we don't see it, we don't have it, you know?
Yeah. And Jesus oftentimes, like when he spoke, and he spoke of everlasting life, when he said everlasting life, I'm here to give, like, that kind of thing, there was a Hebrew like culture back then that that they actually wouldn't have heard that as like heaven,
right?
Like, that it actually meant the great life. Like, and then we go into the thing that actually Arden, your grandpa, says, like, it's life to the full, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I think of Arden, I think of like that kind of,
yeah,
phrase, that kind of language. But giving life, but like living a life, but life to its fullness. And that's really ultimately what Jesus is talking about here, you know, and tapping into that. And yeah, there's so many trappings, you know, like,
yeah.
Especially, you know, we've talked about this a lot with like our peers, and Ryan, I know you're in the thick of it too. Which actually, I have a question for you. Like, you said that you're starting to feel a little bit more like tapping into that joy.
Well, actually, if I can be honest with you and anybody who's listening, I feel like it's been a long enough season of actually being deeply dissatisfied. It's the opposite. It's like, apart from Christ, I've been really hoping that I can find some kind of joy without any other kind of suffering or spiritual growth or pain or, you know, like pruning of my character or whatever it may be, right? Like, I want just the fix,
right?
Without
the process,
right? I want the way around it. And so I feel like for a long time, I've been hoping that existed. And I think over time, and just in some experiences recently in the last couple of years, I feel like I've started to realize more plainly that there is, that apart from Christ is a deeply dissatisfying life. And I've experienced it, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of emptiness that you actually, if you actually are honest with yourself and you don't, you know, like, actually think everybody's life is the way it's portrayed on Instagram, right? Like, if people are honest, I think, and if when I looked at my own life, I was like, I'm not happy. I'm not really happy. I don't have any real reason to not be happy. You know, like, the circumstances of my life are actually pretty good, but I'm not really happy. And why?
Yeah.
And I think that is for me where it's like Jesus steps in and he's like, dude, like, if you follow me, like, there's a different path. There's a different way. Like, you don't have to live in this like quality of life that is so like mundane, boring, repetitive, monotonous. Like, you can have a different standard, emotional, spiritual standard of life, standard of living.
Yeah.
Like, you can have, I give that to people. That's what,
yeah,
I do. And it's like, whoa, is that really true? Like, what if it is true?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's more, I don't think it's more like, oh, I've been feeling great every day. You know, like, I've been just benching like crazy and doing and running like marathons. It's like, no, it's like I have good kids, I have a good family, I have a good job, you know? Why is this not enough, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Just cravings.
Yeah, it's just a craving. It's a craving, and it just increases and it doesn't go away. And I've kind of come to the point where it's like, you could run this route for another 2 decades, you know? Like, how long do you need, right? Like, to what level, how many years do you have to live your life before you realize, like, this if I keep doing the same stuff, like, I'm going to keep feeling the same way, right? Like, it's just, that's kind of at the point, it's like, yeah, I think I've got enough evidence in the box now to know that I know what it's like to actually be connected to God, and I know what it's like to not be, and I want to try, you know, whatever road I can to be more connected to God. You know, I think that's the, it's kind of a binary thing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And that kind of, I think that gets to verse 19, which is the last verse in this section that we're talking about today. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And sanctification, obviously, I mean, it means to be set apart, to set aside, that it's not of the world. I mean, that's actually, you know, why, I mean, in part, you know, why the Hebrew people didn't eat bacon, you know, or have tattoos and like those sort of things. Right. Like that, the sanctification, like that everybody else was doing these things, and so I'm calling you out. And again, there's other things along with it, but part of it has to do with sanctification. But it's interesting here that like that Jesus' death on the cross was not merely for salvation purposes only, but rather for sanctification purposes as well, meaning that yes, Jesus came to save, but with that saving, Ryan, that doesn't mean that now you just get to have the family and the nice job and that kind of stuff and you live your cushy life and you're solid.
Right.
Now there's this larger thing that he's calling us into. He's calling us to do with him and partnering with him.
Daily dying to ourselves and picking up his cross every day.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's continually setting ourselves apart. It's continually bringing about the Great Commission. It's continually ushering in the kingdom of God. And that is the bit that satisfies, you know, that when you chase those other things, those false things, that's where the craving comes in, that those things aren't what real. And so that's what I dig here, that in verse 19, it's talking about this whole sanctification, that Jesus sanctifies himself, that we can be truly sanctified and we continually are called out to be set apart.
Yeah. And along with that, verse 18, you know, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them. You know, this idea that God sent Jesus into the world for many things, but, you know, given the context, to die, right? Like,
yeah.
He's saying, yeah, that's an equivalency, right, that he's making there. Like, these are the same, right? Like, God sent me into the world to live, right, to give, to love, to die. Now, I'm sending them on the same mission that I had, right? And it's like, it just ups the ante, you know, of like, you know, it's like 10 times higher than like the plane that I live my life on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and he's like, he recognizes just how, you know, like, I guess the word holy, like you said in verse 19, like just how serious and yet honorable and important, right, it is for the disciples to actually live this sending out, you know, to actually do it, you know. And a lot of them did die, right, in similar ways that Jesus did, you know. In fact, you know, John was maybe the only one who avoided outright martyrdom. You know, I guess he got exiled and had some other things happen, right? But like all 12 of these people, I guess 11 to 12, whatever, hang on, count Judas, but like they were on, like he sent them into the, down the same road.
Right.
And it's like, that's a freaking serious road. You know, like, that's not like, that's a crazy thing to actually, to do. You know?
It is.
It's super, super like weighty.
Switching gears a little bit. I think that people, all right. So there's this weird thing I do kind of whenever I'm reading scripture. I don't know if it's weird, maybe other people do it, but I'm always on the kind of lookout for language of the triune nature of God, you know, where there's some hint at it and I'm like, oh, it kind of feels a little bit like an Easter egg. You know, if it's like you're outside and like kids are all around, they're hunting for Easter eggs at Easter egg time. They say, oh, it's an Easter egg. That that there's all these other cool things to look for, but then like there's this. So anyways, it's verses five. It's stuff like verse five, where, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Right? That he's like speaking to this thing that like he existed well before even the world began. I don't know what it is about that. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Do you guys do that where it, like every once in a while, like you read a passage that speaks to the eternal nature of Jesus, or the advocate, you know, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And I always kind of view it as like, oh, cool. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, finding the verses that, you know.
Yeah, but they kind of sneak up on you. You know what I mean? Like, we're not, like, Jesus isn't trying to make a point here that he and the Father are one necessarily. Like, that's not what he's going after here, but he's just, like, he's just kind of tossing in, like, hey, I mean, what's the exact language here? "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence." Like, so he's asking for glorification in his presence. Oh, hey, you remember that glory? Father, just to remind you, remember that glory that I had with you before the world began? That's the kind of glory I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That it's like, happens, like, hey, do you remember that God, like that thing that you and I shared, you and I and the Holy Spirit, as we were dancing around together up in,
right,
you know,
whatever they were doing,
whatever it was, created, yeah,
the world, right?
Yeah. Do you remember that? Yeah, that's what I'd like for you to do right now. And it's a little bit like us peeking in on that, being like, what? Like, what does that even look like? That's awesome.
But again, that kind of glory is a big deal, right? Like, my expectations, I guess the other side with all this conversation we're having is like, the expectations that I typically have are pretty small, right?
Right.
And Jesus' expectations are pretty big.
Yeah.
Really big. And it's like, did he mean all that stuff? You know, like, it's like you can't really, you know, to pray a prayer like that, like, the glory we shared before the world began, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, did he, it's something, it sounds pretty crazy, you know? I mean, it sounds important, you know?
It does, and it's also in direct contrast with what he's about ready to endure, you know? Like, he's about ready to endure death and humiliation and nakedness and, front, you know, and death on a cross and,
yeah,
just, you know, crying so much, or like tears of blood, like all the stuff, breaking blood vessels in his face, like all the stuff, and all of that, as opposed to, hey, this is the glory that we have available at our fingertips at any moment. We can call out, you know?
Yeah.
And this, you know, that glory gets radiated in different ways. Like Moses had that when he encountered God on Mount Sinai, when he brought the tablets down, that his face was radiant just within his like tiny little time with the Father on the mountain. And Jesus is God. It's not that he is in the presence of God,
right?
Like, he is God. And so that radiance is his. But for a little while, he's made lower than the angels, you know?
Well, it does bring up another interesting thought as you were talking about the glory before the world began is, you know, so what kind of glory was that like, you know? Because, and you're talking about the contrast between that and the cross, and, you know, verse 1 says, "Glorify your son so he can give glory back to you." You know, it's like, I think throughout this, the book of John, there's this language of, you know, like, when the Son of Man will be, like, the Son of Man being glorified, and it is this, like, he is referring to the cross. He's like, he's glorified in the humiliation. Like, it's this weird, like, combo of, this isn't how we think of glory. And yet Jesus is saying, you know, the time has come, or the hour has come, to, you know, glorify your son. Thank you guys for doing this episode with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. This has been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for everybody who's listening. As we're approaching, you know, Holy Week, we're getting closer to Good Friday and to Resurrection Sunday. And so I hope that this process has been helpful to at least somebody out there. I know that it's been so for me, in doing this with people and hanging out and talking about talking about the Bible, talking about Jesus, talking about his ministry, talking about his death. Thank you for being a part of it. So
Wait, let me interrupt real quick, Ryan.
All right.
Before this one ends.
All right.
I want to hear from you. What's your, like, I know that we've talked about this off mic, but say like, what's one big takeaway from you doing this? It's day 33, right?
Let me check my sheet.
Your cheat sheet here. I think you said this is day 33.
This is day 33.
So you're 33 into this, you know? What's one thing that maybe you didn't expect? Maybe one thing that was pretty cool that came out of this that, you know what I mean?
I didn't expect, well, I didn't know if people would be willing to do this, right? Like, I didn't know if I would ask for people to do episodes and I'd just hear crickets.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's been lots of people who've been willing to be a part of it, which has been really cool. Like, it hasn't been that difficult to line up, you know, people to record these, which has been awesome. And I'm sure I miss people. That's the thing, too, is, like, I wasn't, like, I kind of wanted anybody who wanted to do it, you know? And,
yeah.
But it's been cool that people have been willing to record with me. I mean, I found that when we talk about Jesus together, like, there's a connectivity that happens, which is really cool. And just remembering that, you know, like, the people you go to church with, the people that you've known for a while, like, that we do have this common bond, right? Like, we're unified together because we're all Christians. That's been really cool. I've really enjoyed that. And so I want to kind of figure out what the next phase is, or, like, how we can keep it going kind of thing. Yeah, but,
how to capture, like, the same sort of thing, but...
Yeah, like, it's been really cool. I think there's a power, there's also a spiritual, I feel there's a spiritual power involved in emotionally observing a period of time where you're considering and appreciating the death of Christ. Like, I think there's something that happens with you when you do that, with other people, too. And that's been cool, because I feel like, I don't know if you can enjoy Lent. Like, Lent's a weird time of, like...
It's not fun, but
it's
not
important. Fun. It's not, like, festive. It's not, like, Advent. But it's, like, it matters. I don't know. It's, like, mattered to me, and I think it's mattered to other people some, too, and it's been cool to just, go through it. I think it's been just enjoy. Like, it's not fun, I guess. It's been good.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks for all your hard work.
Yeah, thanks, man.
So I appreciate you guys doing it. I mean, it's been, I didn't know what to expect, you know, but it's been cool.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's been a real gift that God has given me to be able to, you know, to enjoy it. So
that's cool.
Cool.
Well, good work on it. It's,
oh, thank you.
It's great stuff.
And, well, thanks for being a part of it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And thanks for anybody who's listening. Appreciate you listening as well. Keep listening. There's a few more to go. So take care. We'll see you tomorrow.